Well, this is a historic weekend for Michigan Catholics, as over 60,000 people packed Ford Field in Detroit for the beatification of Father Solanus Casey, which is the penultimate step to being canonized a saint in the church. He was born, Father Solanus was born on November 25, 1870, so we're close to his birthday. And he passed from this earthly life 60 years ago in 1957. He is the first Michigander to be beatified, making him one of only three American-born blesseds since the founding of the United States. It is a tradition at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, at beatifications and canonizations, to have these gigantic images of the people hung up, those who are being beatified and canonized, bigger than, you know, like the top of this arch all the way to the floor. So in that spirit, we have the image of this simple and saintly Capuchin priest up there this weekend. Now, Blessed Solanus is a perfect illustration of this Sunday's gospel about the parable of the talents. He's a role model for the one-talent saints, because judging by the world standards and even the academic standards of the seminary, Father Solanus really didn't have very many talents, right? In fact, because of his struggles he had with his theological studies, he was ordained as what is called a simplex priest. And as such, he was not allowed to preach publicly, and he wasn't even allowed to hear confessions. Yet this humble priest revealed that God doesn't need much for him to work powerfully in us and to produce a hundredfold, right? His official duties were what? They were very simple at the friary. He was to be the porter of St. Bonaventure, the guy who opened the doors and welcomed people to the friary. He welcomed the poor and all visitors with extraordinary kindness and charity. He helped begin the Franciscan soup kitchen that is still in operation today. So when we do these, even the simplest of tasks, as Christ would, and we surrender ourselves over to him, then we open ourselves up to the miraculous. And God did just that. He chose to use the simple talent of this simple priest to work miracles. So the news spread throughout the city of Detroit and beyond, as miracles of healing would occur when the porter of St. Bonaventure would pray over the visitors. So you can, you know, open doors and become a saint, right? In God's eyes, it's not what you're called to do, but how you do it that matters. I got an inkling of just how many people Father Solanus Casey may have affected just over a week ago. You know, through the years since I moved to Michigan in 1998, I've heard a number of Father Solanus Casey stories from various people. But just recently, in the span of 20 hours, in random conversations with others, three separate people shared with me about how someone in their family was cured by Solanus Casey when visiting the friary. I'll just share with you one of them from one of the new members of our parish, Joe Sorovitz. Their main residence is in Rockwood, Michigan, near Gros Isle, but he and his wife attend Mass only part of the year due to their, you know, they have a cottage in Farwell Lake. And in the last couple of years, they started coming all the way up here to St. John, passing a couple of other Catholic churches along the way because they love our community. So Joe's wife, Renee, said she hasn't listened to a homily yet that where she hasn't cried. Now, Father Brian and I are thinking, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, she's probably about to cry right now having shared that with you. But anyway, their Father Solanus story involves Joe's grandmother, who was afflicted with a throat ailment that basically rendered her speechless. The doctors, they couldn't figure it out. And so, as a last resort, someone suggested that they go and see Father Solanus Casey. So she went to the friary, and there, the porter of St. Bonaventure prayed over her. The following day, the affliction was gone. She was healed. Such stories of healing at Father Solanus' hands are legion, as testified to the beatification yesterday, right? But of course, the only miracles considered for a beatification is one attributed to the person after their death, right? Basically a sign that the person has passed from the purification of purgatory and is indeed among the blessed in heaven. There have been many miracles since his death, but for a miracle to actually count for a beatification, it has to go through a laborious process of scrutiny to see if there could be any possible medical explanation for the cure. The miracle of Father Solanas' cause involved a retired school teacher named Paula Medina Zarate. She was healed of a genetic skin condition on the site of Father Solanas' tomb at the friary. So let me read to you the account published in the Detroit Free Press and the USA Today about Zarate's healing. At the 130-year-old St. Bonaventure Monastery, she did not recognize what is the above-ground wood-encased tomb of the late Father Solanas Casey. She knew little about the revered Capuchin priest. "What's that, a table?" Zarate recounted, saying to Reverend Timmers, a Michigan Capuchin friar, "I saw so many people around it." "It's not a table, it's a tomb," Timmers told her. The Capuchin explained how pilgrims came to Casey's tomb to pray for healings. On little slips of paper slips, they scribbled their requests and left them atop the tomb. On that day, Zarate did too, asking God to hear her prayers for the sick and troubled people she visited in her parish volunteer work back in Panama. Zarate had filled about 14 pieces of paper. As she stood up from kneeling at the tomb, she felt a force and heard a voice as if it came from her right side. And the voice said, "What do you need for you?" "I got back down on my knees and I placed myself on the tomb," Zarate said. "I asked for mercy for myself, for my legs and my arms." Since birth, Zarate had suffered from a genetic skin condition called ichthyosis. The name of the skin disorder is derived from the Greek word for fish. The condition causes thickened, scaly skin. It appeared on her legs, her arms, and sometimes her scalp. Her skin would crack and bleed. Zarate said that as she knelt there, she felt an intense heat, as if I wasn't inside my body. By the way, that intense heat is a sensation that many people report feeling just before they get healed, right? I've heard a number of folks mention that here in our healing services we've had at Pentecost before their own healing. Anyway, back to the Free Press articles. Timmers, who urged her to join him in the monastery dining room for lunch, interrupted her. But Zarate said she didn't have an appetite and said she felt a heat in her legs. She excused herself from the table, went to her guest room at the monastery, and examined her legs under her pants. "What I saw made me afraid. I touched my legs and the scales were falling on the floor," Zarate said. Since her condition often caused cracking and bleeding, Zarate worried that could be happening. But what was happening then didn't seem to be the case. She went back to the dining room and told Timmers and Weber what had happened. Overnight, Zarate said she couldn't sleep, and her body continued to shed sheets of scaly patches. The newly revealed skin was as smooth as a baby's, she told the priests. Other Capuchin staffers even saw the sheets of diseased skin that fell to the floor of Zarate's room at the monastery. It is not that unusual for the Capuchin priests to hear that prayers to Casey bring relief and healing to people suffering from illness, trauma, or pain. In Zarate's case, it was unusual for Capuchins to be present when a report of the dramatic healing took place. They recorded Zarate's story and prepared to investigate it with medical and church experts. Monsignor Ronald Brown of Detroit presided over the tribunal. "Paula was one of the humblest people I ever met," Brown said. "It's definitely a heartfelt and moving story. When she's relating it, you definitely see the sincerity of her." But the tribunal also needed medical facts. Three Metro Detroit dermatologists, including an expert on ichthyosis, examined Zarate, and biopsies were taken of her skin. Zarate's Panamanian dermatologist recounted how surprised she was to see her patient's clear skin after her visit to Detroit. Dr. Richard Ferreira, a dermatologist with a practice in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan, participated in the tribunal. Part of his role was to look for holes in the account, he said. "It was a very interesting, touching process," said Ferreira. "They want us to be very impartial to hold it up to scrutiny. So end quote, end of article there. So Paula and her dermatologist were at yesterday's beatification. Father Solanus Casey is yet another instance of the truth that God exalts the humble, right? In God's accounting of things, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, we may not determine how many talents are given to us, but we do play an integral role on how we use them and how open we are to putting those talents at the service of God's plan and his glory. Father Solanus' life revealed the truth of that. And here we are, 60 years after his death, proclaiming the praises of a simple priest who yesterday did something that the whole Detroit Lions team can't do much of, right? And that's fill an entire football stadium of people from all over the country. Among them, I know about 100 college students from 100 college students from Colorado. I know that because my ex-girlfriend, you know, the one who became a religious sister, is now stationed in Denver and was the one who spearheaded the group, the road trip, and organized for them to stay at the DeSales Center in Brooklyn. So they should be still there heading back today. So this yesterday was big not only in Michigan, but Father Solanus has been making even national headlines. For example, I was reading the USA Today's 5 Things You Need to Know for This Weekend, and the beatification was number 1 on that list. But in conclusion, Father Solanus' beatification is not so that we can be in awe of something that we ourselves cannot obtain and that we ourselves shouldn't strive for. It's a reminder that holiness and sainthood is God's plan for all of us, no matter how many talents we've been given. You know, sometimes we can think, oh, woe is me. God dealt me a bad hand in life. I didn't get very many talents, so I'm destined to live a mediocre life. And we convince ourselves of that lie. Well, no. Look at Father Solanus, right? He produced 100-fold with his talent. As I keep saying, there's no non-saints in heaven, so we might as well start now. Blessed Solanus Casey. Thank you. Let's try that in unison. Right? Blessed Solanus Casey? All right.